Sample Tatau is an ambitious new work from award-winning sound artist Faumu Matthew Salapu, better known as Anonymous. Resample is inspired by his personal journey when he received his traditional hand-tapped Samoan tattoo. The Auckland-based artist and producer is also the 2021 inaugural recipient of the new virtual Toe Rau Whārangi Pacific Art Residency for Massey University. Let's take a little listen to some of his work. It's a little bit of the flavour of Resample Tatau, Tali Le'au, which means lean into the pain. Anonymous has had a busy year, including his historic opening soundscape for the New Zealand government's official apology to the Pasifika community for the Dawn Raids. Talofa, Anonymous.
Talofa, maro lava, soifu mau, malangi mau, sup.
Congratulations on the residency. What does it entail?
I've got a history with the bunch over at Massey College of Creative Arts and through numerous education projects over the years, and they've got an amazing studio up there, and I've been down there for various programs with Tautai Pacific Arts in terms of doing music production, creative production workshops. And so the residency is basically, they've given me time to develop a very innovative and ambitious new digital work, which includes sampling, video projection and so forth, in preparation for a world premiere at next year's New Zealand International Arts Festival, which is going to be great. So it's going to be developed through them, through the university, and then it'll be premiered in the TSB Arena in Wellington. So it's going to be a big deal.
That does sound like a big deal. So what it's bringing together is your own tatou experience, which we'll talk about, your background in creating soundscapes, and most recently a few of us and some of our listeners may have heard your soundscape Intention, which was part of the Dawn Raids apology earlier this year. And then further back, some of us will know you as Anonymous, who also is a hip-hop artist. And also I know that you do some video production as well, so it's all your hats in one project. We'll start with the tatou and your own receiving of it or finishing of the work on yourself. Can you tell us about that experience and what tatou means in a Samoan context?
Yeah, so the Samoan tatou is an indigenous hand-tapped tattoo that's applied to males from the ribs down through to below the kneecaps, and it's very, very painful to say the least. I've grown up watching my father have one, so he's got one, and you know, I kind of grew up in I grew up in South Auckland around a lot of different culture and so forth, and I've been surrounded in the culture, but it never really meant much to me. To be honest, it was just an aesthetic thing to me, and I wasn't particularly attached to a lot of the cultural elements until one day in 2014, I went along to sample the sounds of the tatou. So at the time, I was creating with a radio imaging for Pacific radio stations, 531 New FM, and I wanted to take the sounds and sample them. And so I went along to a sitting, and I started recording a friend's sitting where he was getting tatoued. And then before I left, the tufunga kind of basically challenged me. And he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm going to record these sounds for radio. Ironically, the radio was the very one they were listening to. And what he said next basically changed the course of my career and my life, actually. He was like, okay, that's cool. You know, in the art world, you know, they may appreciate your work, but to us, we don't, because to you, it's just a sound. To us, it's a feeling. And music is all about feeling to me in a subjective and very real way. So I was like, wow, okay, if I'm going to work with these sounds, I need to get one myself. So that kind of was the first domino to fall and kickstarted me down this journey. And then by actually embarking on the journey of getting the tatou, which I actually had microphones up and recorded it because I knew at some point later down the line I would use it in a work, that put me on a whole different path of actually now embracing the culture and learning the language, learning the protocols. And I went around the world basically traveling with an Indigenous Revival Samoan program based here in Aotearoa. And so, you know, I'm very proud of the culture now. Ironically, my father's village gifted me with the Matai name, the title Fayumu. So I've gone from kind of having no name, anonymous, to having proudly earning my father's name as a chief. And yeah, I've kind of applied and, you know, pivoted my practice of sampling hip hop and soundscapes into kind of really embracing indigenous application of it through, you know, avant-garde sound design by using these types of frequencies in very different ways. And here we are with this work that's basically built on that foundation.
I was earlier this week speaking to Raymond Sangapolo Dele, the photographer.
The OG.
And he was talking about this idea of working in a Pacific way. And his way, as I interpreted it, was that he said, I use myself as a subject. Because to me, that exactly your experience of recording those sounds and taking them out of their context for another audience or perhaps another purpose is maybe not respecting what that process is, but it's certainly stripping it of some aspects of it. Can you speak to that working in a Pacific way, and what is that? Because to me it's like you're not extracting something to then repurpose for something else. There's a whole nother element to that.
No doubt. It's an extension of basically our artistic communications and practice since the start of our Indigenous journey. You know, if you dig into so much of the artwork of the Tsetsaw, you know, it's basically an archive. It's depicting what is and what was, and, you know, and it's transmitting it throughout history. You know, we are now at a digital revolution where we're having a digital transition of information, but we have an analog form where we have symbols of the environment and plant life and animal life that are embedded onto our bodies so that it can be transmitted throughout history through sight, from father to son, from master to apprentice. And it's the same thing in the way we use words when we have our, you know, a lot of our metaphors speak to what we see around us, and they kind of transmit that throughout time. And sampling as an art form is basically the transmission of frequencies as well. You know, I grew up on hip-hop that sampled in the 90s, that heavily sampled from their Black American history of the 70s, and they kept that alive. And then in the 2000s they started sampling the synthetic synthesis of the 80s and so forth, and now modern hip-hop is sampling from the 90s and so forth. So we, you know, art in general, whether that's our digital art or whether it's our cultural art, which is a living, breathing form of expression, it's always kind of taking from the past and then kind of, you know, repurposing it for its transmission into the future. And so that's what this work basically is. It's me taking all the different, I guess, hats that I've worn growing up in life, both as somebody in the street community making hip-hop, as proud Samoan trying to reclaim his identity, as somebody who went to Auckland Grammar and was surrounded by all the geeks and the heavy metal, and, you know, I've lived my whole life on laptops creating files and so forth. So this work really is the culmination of years and years and years of research, trial and error, and, you know, trying to, you know, maintain different identities and different worlds just to get on by and survive. But it's like making peace with myself and rebuilding myself as a digital artist in a way that the tell process rebuilds you, because basically it's a rite of passage that you undertake it, you put your life on the line, you are a walking open wound, and by the end of it you emerge a new person, you've got a new identity, you physically look different, and you are now committed to the game. So it's an exciting time.
Where was the liminal space for you in that process of tatau? Because if you're talking about a rite of passage, like you say, it's a transformation, right? And there must be the almost hypnotic percussive sound of that hand tap tatau. There's possibly the breathing you'd have to undertake to sustain that amount of pain, I assume, and also the experience of having so many of your ainga and your community around you in that room as well, because you don't just sit in a room by yourself and go with a regular Western tattoo, right? Take me through that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my whole life has been committed to my art form. in preparation for this, like I was lying on a mat like 3 months before even doing it, just so I could condition my body to feel the hard floor underneath me. The week beforehand, I was in Samoa loading myself up on nutrients from the islands so that when I bleed, I've got that in my DNA. But then the Saturday before, the Monday I started, I got all the homies around to our then place in Otahu, Otahu, and, you know, we were drinking South Auckland liquor, smoking South Auckland weed, so that that part of my lifestyle and life and identity up to that point was embedded in my DNA, so that when that first tap hit on the Monday, that, you know, it would be my purest expression of the blood that I wanted to share for my art and my love of my family and culture. And I had the microphones there picking it up. I also had a conch shell and a log drum from Samoa kind of sitting there journeying with me the whole time. And that was to mirror a Western philosophy that's often used with high-end makers of guitars and violins. They say that when you first make an instrument, you have to break it in by exposing it to 10,000 hours of the frequencies that you want it to inherit. So I wanted these log drums and this conch shell to be imbued with the frequency of the tapping, so that when I get to some performance later on down the line, that these would be the feature instruments that were analog representations that are overlaid on top of the digital representation of them through recordings. And so, yeah, I remember after the like when that tap first hit my back, I was like, oh damn, okay, I don't know if I can survive this line. This is only one line and this is only one session of many. And I was like, okay, I'm in for it now. And then about 3 minutes into it, it kind of disappeared for a little bit, and I kind of felt like I was a ninja all of a sudden. So everything blacked out, but I could see the slit in front of me, kind of like my, you know, what a ninja might see if their head was wrapped out. And I was like, what's happening here? And then all of a sudden it dawned on me. I was like, oh my goodness, I am inside a log drum looking out. This is what it feels like to be tapped, to be hit like a log drum, an instrument that I've used in my practice all this time. Now I actually know what it feels like to be that log drum with somebody tapping on you. And so it was an amazing journey, very painful one, but, you know, it was quite a straightforward journey in one way. You know, you either lie down and you either get up and quit, or you die trying. So, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to this concept of pain and leaning into it. And that was the one thing I was warned about by my tufunga, Junior Suluape, from the prestigious Sasua Suluape clan. You know, basically they warn you right from the start. They're like, don't even try to fight this pain. You know, you'll tense up and you'll make it more painful. You'll bleed more, all of the above. The only way you will survive this journey is by leaning into the pain. You, like, when it hurts, lean into it more. And I thought that was a beautiful lesson, life lesson, almost kind of like the rite of passage lesson that you take away from this into, you know, life post Te Tau, is you know, when painful things happen in life, that you can't run away from it, that you have to lean into it, you know. And it's given me a different perspective, because as much as you know, it was a painful journey feeling the au, I know that I have not felt the au of a parent dying. I have not felt these other pains that are on their way that I will experience that are gonna be crushing on me. But by having gone through this and realizing that at the moment I thought that I would never get through while I was on the mat, but I survived and I'm proudly here wearing it, that I know that in due time too, when I face these much more painful things that are on their way in life that we face every day through depression and all these things that I've dealt with in my own life, I've been suicidal, all of the above, my left wrist has slipped to bits, you know, but I'm like, man, I survived these things, and no matter what's coming, I'm going to get through this, because by leaning into the pain, you are rewarded by coming out the other end with a stronger identity.
I'm speaking to Anonymous, who is the inaugural recipient of the Toe Rau Whārangi Pacific Arts Residency at Massey University. And we're talking about his work, Resampled Te Tau, which will be premiering at the Aotearoa New Zealand Festival of the Arts next year. What might we see at that? You've said it's video projection, a 7-movement composition with live strings and Indigenous percussion, and also incorporating this experience of you receiving your te tau as well. What might we see that night in TSB Arena in Wellington.
Yeah, so that's the basic skeleton of the structure. Like, I got my tato done over 7 sessions, and so that will be paralleled in the 7 movements of the work. So it'll be divided into 7 sections of you know, music and video projection that respond and speak about each of my sessions and what they represent, both aesthetically and also conceptually, and the philosophical takes that I got from each session and so forth. And I assign meaning and purpose to it. But the thing I'm really excited about this work and the development of it is that it's a work in progress that's responding to the current pain that the world's going through. This is a case of life imitating art and art imitating life. Like, you know, going through each one of the sessions, when you go through your first sessions, you have no idea what's happening, and then it prepares you for what happens in the next session, and then that prepares you for the next one. So it's a journey that kind of unfolds, and that's how I look at this residency, is that I'm going in with a general game plan, but it will inform what happens in these next sessions as we head into March, into the arena, and the way that we install and perform the work there. And also, you know, you only need to turn on the news and look at the financial sector and everything that's happened, and you realize that the whole world is getting tattooed at the moment. The financial sector, I'm big into the blockchain and cryptocurrency.
I was going to ask you about how NFTs might sit with a Pacific way of making art, and perhaps redressing the imbalance of, say, images and stories that are of a tradition that gets sold in the art world. And I was wondering whether NFTs and blockchains may compensate for that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, this work itself will be right from the outset, like right now, like even in where I'm speaking to you from, my wife and I's business facility, Live Workspace, I'm reconstructing the whole studio space. We're rebuilding it from scratch to mirror, you know, to prototype ideas that we will trial within Massey's ecosystem before we trial it within the arena. TSB Arena, and that's both, you know, the way it's constructed digitally, and I'm looking to kind of see what way I can mint this on the blockchain, which blockchains to kind of go with, how I can tokenize this for the community so that they have equity in it. I've been right across the social spectrum in my works. Like, I've worked from the hood of the hood, like the most gangster in South Auckland, all the way up through to, you know, private homes, you know, in with the APO funders and all of these arts patrons in it, you know, to cross-pollinate the worlds that I come from so that we can kind of have this, this understanding that we don't have to live in our echo chambers at the moment, and these silos that seems to be happening in the world right now in terms of viewpoints and so forth. And it's just me kind of embracing everything.
That is Sound Artist Anonymous,